Long Shots Radio, Thursday night NFL edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. It's been a sensational summer on the baseball diamond, but tonight we shift over to the gridiron. Patriots Steelers go live in 2 hours tonight. We have a full hour-long packed show that we're going to bring to you tonight on Long Shots Radio. A little bit later on, we're going to have my boy Alex, the AK-47, break down college football this weekend and give you the right information on the plays that you're going to want to make in the biggest games of the weekend. We'll have some fantasy football advice for the National Football League. A huge DraftKings pot this weekend, $10 million. $2 million to the winner. We're going to get some good information there from Alex to see how we can build that bankroll the right way. Major League Baseball has been very kind to my subscribers. Over the past 28 plays, we've won 21 times. The number one ranked player on the monitor for Handicapper's Watchdog is myself, Donnie Wrightside. We have another play in effect tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go to trendbetting.com, pick up that play immediately, and get on board. But tonight, it's about football. As I said, an hour-long packed show that we're going to go over the ins and outs of the game tonight. Some look-aheads to this weekend's games. Alex the AK-47 breaking down college football. It all starts now. It's Long Shots Radio, National Football League edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Let's get it started. Folks, welcome to the show. It is September 10th. Can you believe it? Long Shots Radio, MLB, scratch that, NFL edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. New time, new format. We're going to be coming to you live twice per week now, changing up the times to give us more information getting ready for the games. Monday night, it's going to be our prime time edition, 6 to 7 p.m., getting you ready for Monday Night Football and rehashing what happened over the weekend in college football and the National Football League. And then Thursday night prime time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 7 p.m., setting you up for Thursday night action and a nice look ahead of what the weekend is going to entail. Welcome to the show, folks. It's Long Shots Radio, National Football League edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. We are going to have a lot of fun in the fall, bringing it right through to the bowl season, right through to NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. Been waiting a long time to get back to football. It's hard holding down shows over the summer, those dog days of July and August where all you have is baseball. And don't get me wrong, baseball is great. Baseball is profitable. We've won a lot of money this summer, again, for our clients and subscribers on an incredibly hot run right now, 21-7 over the past 28 games, as I said and you heard on the promo heading into the show. Another game going tonight, and that's going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time between St. Louis and also the Cincinnati Reds. So that's going to come up a little bit later. Won't give out that information until later in the show, but you know where to get the play. It's trendbetting.com. Click on the experts tab on the top right-hand corner. Package is cheap and affordable. As I always like to say, everything is there to fit your needs at trendbetting.com. We'll go over that information a little bit later, but boy, oh boy, just really, really excited that football season is back. I get a lot of answers by email, Twitter, Facebook. Donnie, who you got this weekend? Who are you looking at for tonight? What do you think is going to be the game of the week? I don't bet any of these games until late in the month of September. And it's by good reason. A formula that I've worked out over the years, it just works for me. Some people like to jump ahead and maybe see a line that's off. I can't guess on football games. I just can't flip the coin. I see people betting preseason football. I mean, hey, I understand you got to get your action in, but I just don't believe it until I see it. Numbers are real in gambling, and that's what we wait for. Tonight, I'm excited. If I was a betting man, I just saw five dimes pop up there and go from 7.5 to 8. I'm all day on the Steelers tonight. I haven't seen the Steelers play a lick. Some preseason game. Patriots haven't shown anything yet in the preseason. Gronk hasn't played. Edelman hasn't played. Brady didn't even know if he was playing tonight. Stork's out their center. LeGarrette Blount's out their starting running back. They're missing, you know, 3 out of 4 starters in the secondary that have all left. Brandon Browner and, of course, Darrelle Revis off. I mean, McCourty's still back there. Damn good football player. But they're not the same football team. You don't know how they're going to react. Flip it over to the Steelers. Second best wide on the team. Martavis Bryant, he's out tonight. Also lost Pouncey. I mean, outside of the right tackle who's going to protect, the left tackle who's going to protect the blind side of the quarterback, the center is the most important cog on that line. They're both out for both teams. So I'm strictly watching this game as a fan, and I'm going to break the game down the way I think it should come out. But again, I don't play these games early in the season in the National Football League or college football because I'm a numbers guy. I need to see it on the field, see how it plays out, see how the numbers check out before we fire away. We're going to have a good, profitable season. But right now, September, it's all about baseball and closing out strong. And by the end of the month, which is September 26th, not too far away, is when we're going to unload on college football. And then, of course, on the 27th, we are going to unload on the National Football League. It's going to be a lot of fun, but I just ask you to hang on. Yes, I have leans. I have certain directions that I like to look for these teams. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I love the San Diego State Aztecs. Doesn't even matter what the line is. They're getting 14 this week from Cal. If I just wanted action, I would take San Diego State, just like what Rocky Long does and the boys out there. I know people see Cal one big week one, and there you go, which I dub week two in college football and the National Football League as overreaction week. You're not really as bad as you were week one, and you're not really as good as you were week one. Temple Owls, local team, you know I'm based out on the East Coast. Good football team, just knocked off Penn State. How good is Temple? You're going to let you know this week when they go to Cincinnati and take on Gunnar Kiel. That's going to be a tough test. How good is Penn State? They have no weapons. I mean, they have a good defense. Don't get me wrong. Temple's a good football team. Penn State, good defense. Zero offense. They can't find a running back for the last 4 to 5 years. And you knew it was going to take a long time when they got hit with the probation. That's a decade-long burial. I mean, it takes a long time to get out from under it. I don't particularly like James Franklin as a coach. I think their quarterback's actually pretty good, Hackenberg, but I think he's in the wrong type of set. I mean, the guy's running like read options. I mean, he's a big-armed quarterback, but they have no weapons. Their offensive line was a sieve. I believe he got sacked 10 times on Saturday. But again, it's overreaction. You're looking at this weekend, you know, but they're giving Buffalo, what, 20 points at home? Something like that? And they might blow Buffalo right out of the building. This is not, you know, the Khalil Mack team of a couple years ago that did fairly well. Joe Licata's still there in Buffalo. But again, can Penn State score enough to cover 20 points? I mean, if Buffalo gets to 14, they probably cover that game. That's probably the target range for that. But again, most teams, and it's similar to high school football, college football, National Football League, teams get better from week one to week two at a higher frequency than any other week of the year. Because you're not used to it. You got some jitters on opening day. You're playing a light opponent. Maybe you're playing a tough opponent, and you really just can't get off the board. Take a look at Wisconsin and Alabama. Alabama pulled away from Wisconsin. But that's a tough game to open up with. That's why most teams, you know, look at the Miami Hurricanes open up with Bethune-Cookman and blow them out. You like to work the kinks out week one. When you go up against, you know, Joe Frazier week one, as in the Alabama Crimson Tide, it's going to take a lot away from you. It's going to take a lot of information in the offseason. Nick Saban, the best preparer maybe in the history of college football. You're giving him 6 months to get ready for your football team. That's going to be a tough one. And Alabama travels, and they travel well. So even though that game was down in Dallas, that was a home game for Alabama. What, 75, 80% of the fans there were for Alabama? Nick Saban, you knew they're going to be ready. It doesn't matter what quarterback, just like the hijinks that Urban Meyer plays down in, up at the Horseshoe. You don't know who my starting quarterback is going to be until the first snap of the game. Doesn't matter. I mean, really. It's not like you're hiding Ryan Leaf compared to Michael Vick, where it's a completely different set. Cardale Jones, super athletic. JT Barrett, super athletic. Cardale Jones, good arm. JT Barrett, good arm. Both can play. I mean, Frank Beamer, I mean, they had him on the ropes at the half, I know. And there's a 2 second half to a football game each and every time. I get that. As soon as that quarterback went out, no shot for Virginia Tech after that. Couldn't even move the football. And rightfully so. I mean, they went right back to what they're usually used to, you know, with the Brian Randles, the Mike Vicks, the Marcus Vicks, Thomas. I mean, whoever was there. Logan Thomas, I'm sorry. Step back. He's taught to make one read, and if that read's not there, run around like it's street football, try to dump it off somewhere, run for 10 yards. That's just what Virginia Tech does. That's just what they do. But again, overreaction heading into the second week. Now, Ohio State, that was a tough spot for them to be in. Opening week had a lot of suspensions, and they won easy, as it turned out at the end of the game. Dogfight at the half, won easy in the second half. That was one of their toughest games. What's their other tough game? What, in like 7 or 8, 9 weeks with Michigan State? Other than that, it's just a cakewalk. They're going to be rested and ready, which is always the point that I bring up, which I'm really, really happy that college football now has a playoff that includes four teams. Because if you're just looking at the season as a whole right now, you just pencil Ohio State in, and you have roughly, what, 10 or 15 other teams battling for one more spot to get in? So nice to have a top four now, because now you get to really sit back and enjoy some good football at the end of the year on New Year's Day, just getting you ready into the actual playoff and into the final, as opposed to penciling in one team and having roughly the rest of the nation play for the other. Because Ohio State's really not going to get tested. You know, maybe Cardale Jones gets hurt, maybe JT Barrett gets hurt, maybe they move Braxton Miller back to quarterback and he gets hurt, and they probably still win the Big Ten. Not that much talent there. Michigan State, good football team? Absolutely. Well-coached, good defense, veteran quarterback. They're going to win some football games, but they're not going to beat Ohio State. I mean, let's just be real. Not going to beat Ohio State. Going to talk to Alex AK-47 here in just a few moments, and we're going to go over some big, big-time college football. DFS, huge $10 million maker this weekend with DraftKings. Most people I know are getting in that. Hey, why not throw 20 bucks down? It's going to be out, what, 700,000, 800,000 contestants in there? See if you can come up with that top team. I mean, sometimes I just feel like playing Powerball as opposed to playing the Millionaire Makers, because it sounds great. Oh, my God, put in 20. You tell me all I got to do is pick a quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wideouts, tight end, whatever it is, and I can win $2 million if I come in first place. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. It's fun. And I'll get in it. Of course, everybody's got a dollar and a dream, right? Lottery. Hit it big. Retire. Get a commercial. You can bounce around in there with the big DFS check from DraftKings. Get champagne sprayed on you. Hug your boys. Get a funny nickname. Could happen, right? I could win the Powerball also. It's tough. I'll get in it, and I'll have a lot of fun. But we're going to do a lot of DFS stuff on the show throughout the year. I just saw also college DFS, which is pure insanity. I mean, if you're a glutton for punishment, head to DFS on DraftKings and click on the college application. Check those out. There must be 900 players on there. I can't even imagine. Like, if you are just a common fan in NFL DFS on DraftKings, you know, you can make up a team, and you could probably win. In college football, if you're a common fan, you're just outnumbered. You're outnumbered and undermanned, because there's like 5 million people at like 2,000, I believe it was 2,000 or 3,000, like 3,000 might be the base on college football, which I was looking at last week. There might be 500 players at $3,000 all ranked even. I mean, how many wide receivers are in Division I college football? Oh, my goodness. So if you have the time and the effort to put into DFS college, you could probably make a little bit of money. If you're the casual fan tuning in as a weekend warrior on Saturday, don't do it. Just stick with the NFL, because at least you can push buttons. You have 32 quarterbacks, you know, much, much less competition there, and much, much less sharp competition, because that college football is amazing. If you have the time, do it. If you don't have the time, I wouldn't even recommend even messing around with that at this point. As I said again, just a few moments, we're going to have Alex the AK-47 on. We're going to talk college football, some big, big-time matchups this weekend, and also some DFS. Alex is very good on that. You see him on a lot of blogs out there, a lot of write-ups, real sharp young guy. Knows what he's looking at there and gives you the edges. And the only thing I respect the most is he does a lot of smaller time college football. Those little gems, you know, getting interviews with quarterbacks that are, you know, that I know very well, but maybe the nation doesn't know. You know, you're interviewing a quarterback from Buffalo or from Bowling Green or, you know, just some random conference out there, Conference USA. That's the football I love, because that's the football I believe I can get a good edge on. And any information gathered from those smaller conferences, I think the lines are softer on those, can always, always be to your advantage. So for the show, once again, folks, Long Shots Radio Primetime NFL Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. You know, welcome to the show. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. If you're tuning in for the first time, this is football season. This is what we love to do. I do a show all summer long and all spring long. We talk college basketball, Major League Baseball, and yes, that's a lot of fun. But football, you can go on for hours and hours and hours with Guy Talk. You don't need any notes for the show. You don't need any prep time for the show. Just click on, log in, get the show going, and you can just go for hours talking about football. It's what we love. I mean, it's what we live for. Down the road on the show, we're going to take phone calls from outside callers as well. But more importantly, for the meantime, we're going to take our Trend Betting Team crew and also experts in the industry that you'd like to hear from. We're going to be interviewing them on each and every show, recapping what happens during the week, what goes on, future impact, upcoming matchups. It's everything that we're going to look at. Gambling tips, what I look for, why is the line moving, and public versus Vegas in the NFL, and how we're going to use that to our advantage throughout the season. About myself, folks, been in this game over 20 years, online selling picks for over 3 years with my website, rightsidevalueplays.com, and of course, my home here at trendbetting.com. You know me, I like to take the 401k approach. We only had, I believe, maybe 20, 25 plays over the past 30 days total. So it's not that much you need to profit. It's profiting on the right plays, and that's the approach that we take. Also in football, there's hundreds of games between college football, pro football, Major League Baseball that are going on right now 7 days a week. Once college football and pro football kicks in for me September 26th, you're probably looking per week 5 plays total, and that might even be a little bit high. Sometimes a little bit lower, sometimes a little bit higher, but roughly 5. We usually like to pinpoint about 3 college football plays, maybe 2 NFL plays, but if the time is right on that, maybe 1 college play, 1 pro play. It's all about profiting. I'm not an action guy. I'm a profit guy. So if you like a lot of action, hey, it's no harm, no foul. Maybe I'm not your guy, but if you like profit, we're going to be turning that all season long. At Right Side Value Plays, or excuse me, at Right Side VP is my Twitter account on trendbetting.com as well. If you want to look me up on Facebook, track me under Donnie Wrightside, and also under a promo account on Twitter at Donnie Wrightside, again with the at Wrightside VP. So let's get this show underway. Got one of the sharpest minds holding here on the line, and let's wait no further. Alex, how you doing tonight, my buddy?
Hey, Donnie, thanks for having me, man.
Hey, no problem at all. I mean, this is exactly what we live for. You know, you played football your whole life. I played football my whole life. I mean, I was much better than you, but, I mean, that's for another day there. But let's get right into it. Looking at college football, and as you know, being a football player as well, I tried to explain it a little bit earlier in the show. Overreaction week is what I like to call it, because in college football, high school football, professional football, teams improve week 1 to week 2 more than any other time of the season. Taking a look at college football this week, Alex, 3 top games that you would say that you have your eye on at this point. What are they?
Donnie, let's start off with one of the heavyweight battles that we got going on between Oregon and Michigan State, and this is a playoff-type game. It's going to be the night slate, and looking at the week 2 matchups, it's not necessarily a big week in terms of, you know, being able to watch some of these glamorous matchups. There's going to be a lot of FCS teams traveling to FBS programs, so it's not going to be one that the nation's going to like, but there are some good games up there. So let's dive right into this big one. Oregon and Michigan State. Oregon kind of took a step back in week 1 against Eastern Washington. We saw Oregon quarterback Vernon Adams do his thing against his former club, but that defense is a big question mark. But like you said, teams transitioning from week 1 to week 2, I'm sure that cleaning up those defensive mishaps is going to be at the top of the priority list for Helfrich. And coming into Michigan State, into hostile territory, it's going to be a great game right now. Right now, scanning the board as far as the odds, we're seeing a lot of 3s, a lot of 3.5s. If I'm picking a side on this one, Donnie, I like the Spartans at home, only because of the defensive tenacity. I think D'Antonio, last week versus Western Michigan, I think the box score is a little deceptive, only because Western Michigan brought back a 100-yard kick return to the house. Michigan State kind of got a little lackadaisical late in the game, gave up a quick drive to the Broncos. 37-24 could have been a lot worse than it really was. I think that Michigan State's defense handled Western Michigan pretty well in the first half. But I think it'll be a great game. I think it'll be a game that everyone, even if you don't have action on, should be definitely tuned into. It's, you know, very rare that we get a playoff-type game this early in the season. So buckle up for that one. East Lansing, that should be a real good one. And then the other one late at night, Donnie, as well,
mm-hmm.
LSU-Mississippi State. Heavyweight battle. Two teams that I think have a sneaky high-octane offense. And when I say high-octane, I'm not necessarily saying teams that are going to run 80 plays a game. You know, this isn't your Western Kentucky. This isn't your Baylor. I'm looking for Dak Prescott to have a huge game. I think after last week, I noted Southern Miss. I thought they were in a great spot with LSU on deck. They ended up covering the 21 points. And I think the trend here, Donnie, that we're looking at in this first week is you know, these offenses, these capable offenses, kind of having to take a few quarters to shake the rust off, not necessarily coming out firing on all cylinders, but as the game went on, Mississippi State found a groove. And here's a nice little trend that, dug up in the offseason. Les Miles, 7-0 to the over his last seven FBS openers. So, obviously, you have LSU. They get rained out versus McNeese State. They have a little bit more time to prepare. I'm not sure if there's any value behind that trend. It could be something that happens totally by chance, but, you know, maybe you got a guy like Les Miles who likes to take more time, work on the offense in the offseason and getting prepared. So it's not a glamorous game looking at it on paper, but I'd like to see that transition over onto the field. We've seen the total rise from 48 to 51. So who knows what's going to happen there. And then, you know, it'd be blasphemy if I didn't bring in one of these smaller games, Donnie. And there's one game that I will actually be tuning into, and that's Tulsa, New Mexico. As crazy as it sounds. And watching this Tulsa team last week, they bring in Baylor offensive coordinator Philip Montgomery as their head coach, and it took him, I want to say, 7 minutes into the game to start, chucking the ball all over the yard. And I watched three quarters of the Florida Atlantic-Tulsa game, and Tulsa's going to be one team that I just don't think the books are going to be able to set the total high enough for them. I mean, they were snapping the ball with 31, 32 seconds on the play clock. Quarterback Dane Evans has a lot of receivers, a lot of athletic receivers. Tyrus Garrett is one of them as well. Guys that can just go up and get the ball. And, you know, he was throwing the ball down the field 40 or 50 yards every four or five plays. So it's fun offense, real fun offense. If you can get onto Tulsa's overs before the nation starts getting them and those totals start climbing into the high 70s, I would do that. But that's one team that you want to watch come Saturdays.
Definitely. Hey, Alex, getting back to the one game, I want to pick your brain on this one. With the LSU-Mississippi State game, as we talked earlier about, teams really like to get into the flow and get used to it, maybe work out the kinks. Like, take, for instance, like a Miami versus Bethune-Cookman. I mean, you're going to roll out there and run any play you want and just basically move the ball up and down the field, see what works, you know, get into a nice rhythm, get that good feel-good victory, 41-0, which most of these big schools like to do week one. LSU not getting a game in against a cupcake and now heading out on the road to Mississippi State, basically in their first game of the year where Mississippi State was already, got that lather worked up. They got the jitterbugs out. You know, even the young kids are ready to go. Does that play a factor in a big game like this? Because it's a conference game, and one team I would think would have an advantage basically built in with playing a game before the other one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you would think so, Donnie, especially looking at LSU. They're going to be playing on the road, with the cowbell. The cowbells will be all around the stadium. That crowd's going to be rocking. And I think if you look at some of these FBS teams, scheduling these FCS programs, you don't want to take into account these week one games versus FCS. You could have a team, be a 40 or 45-point favorite and win by 20, and the nation's, starting to pull their hair out wondering what's wrong with these teams. This is pretty much the fact that these coaches, these offensive coordinators especially, want to find a rhythm on offense, and you're not going to get that all the time. You're not going to find – these are college kids. These are kids that have jitters to work out. These are, freshmen and sophomores playing their first game at the big stage, And it does take a few quarters to get these the pregame jitters out. And then you look at LSU having to come in, not having a game, going on the road. in conference. It's, you know, it just has this atmosphere, Donnie, where it's a November SEC game that we're getting in the first week of September. So you would have to think that there's a lot of value with Mississippi State being able to work the kinks out versus Southern Miss, playing at home, and getting an LSU team that's, you know, that hasn't been as dominant as they have been in the past few years. So you can definitely say that there's a lot of question marks with that team. So when you have perhaps the best quarterback in the SEC on your team, you have a viable shot to win. So there's a surplus of value with Mississippi State coming into Saturday.
Gotcha. Now, looking at some teams coming into this weekend, forgetting point spreads altogether, which teams do you think are ripe for maybe getting upset at this point, or which teams do you think can pull an upset this weekend?
Sure. Let's start with these lower lines a little bit, Donnie, and then kind of gradually work our way up to the long shots. One team, and for those that don't know, I cover a variety of outlets, cover the Michigan Wolverines, do a lot of Big Ten picks, do a lot of just upset alert stuff. And one of the focal points of the week has been Washington State and Rutgers. And this is just your prototypical buying low and selling high. And I'm actually doing both with both teams. And, you know, I don't have a lot of notes written down here, so I'm just going to, you know, spitball and throw some stuff at you guys. Washington State and Rutgers, this will be a rematch, of last season, week one matchup where Rutgers upended Washington State 41-38. So you have to look at the revenge factor first for Mike Leach and Washington State. Now, secondly, and this is one of the bigger ones, the public is going to see this and automatically think that Rutgers is the easy choice. I happen to disagree with this one. You got to think that Rutgers just blew the doors off of Norfolk State. You know, a team that really had no chance. In the first half, they kept it pretty close, but, you know, they're an FCS program, to say the least. Once the second half came, Hayden Reddick was throwing the ball all over the place. Washington State, on the other hand, gets upset at home to Portland State. So the public's seeing that, and they're seeing a Washington State team having to go on the road versus a team that just won by 40, and you're thinking, okay, how is this line so low? And then the third team that comes into place, obviously, I had to do some digging and trying to find some stuff here. But Mike Leach, when he's playing on the road after a home loss, he's 6-3 against the spread, and he's only given up 31 points per game. Now, the 31 points per game obviously isn't anything to write home about, but you got to look at some of these teams that they're playing in the Pac-12. Oregon's in there, Arizona State, Stanford, an Oregon State team that had Sean Mannion. Obviously, Oregon State isn't as much of an offensive powerhouse now, but you got to take that into account. And I just don't think that Rutgers has proved itself enough for me right now to back them. And if that line opened, you know, in the 6 to 8 point range, I can see why that would be a option to back the Scarlet Knights. But I don't like anything about Rutgers this week. I think Washington State is the right play. I think that against a pretty depleted secondary for Rutgers, that Luke Falk can have a big game. And I really like Washington State to bounce back in week two. Any thoughts on that?
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it looks like it's sitting at about 3.5 there. But one thing you know for sure, I mean, it's not high school. And, you know, I mean, these guys, especially Washington State, Mike Leach, I mean, absolute red hot seat right now. I mean, even if you date back to last year, the way they finished the year, you know, big game to end the season. I believe it's Apple Cup, Washington State, Washington. I mean, Washington flatlined them. So that's two straight games where they've gotten pummeled. And now you're coming east to a game against Rutgers. I mean, Rutgers, again, not the best team in the world, but it's almost like a must win for Mike Leach, because once they start getting into Pac-12 play, there's going to be a tough slate going down. They need a win to get going, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I agree. And then if you look too, Donnie, there's some stuff that's come out really this week with Rutgers and supposed allegations.
Yep.
With so, you know, you don't know if there's a clutter there with the coaching staff and what's going on, and if mentality is 100% there. But I just think that Rutgers is kind of a hard team to back right now, because there's not much to go off of. Yeah, they won by, you know, 40 or 50 points versus Norfolk State, but, you know, that doesn't say anything for me where I'm thinking, okay, I think the Scarlet Knights is a good choice. I honestly think that Vegas sets this line as a trap, and I think that the public is going to look at last week's matchup and see what happened between both those teams and back Rutgers. But I'm on the other side of that one. I think that Washington State's offense could have a field day out east, and they're revenging a loss from last year. So that's my take on that one. The next one, Donnie, Marshall.
Yep.
At Ohio. This one raises red flags for me right away, given that Marshall was a double-digit favorite in every game last season except one game. Now they open up at Ohio as 3.5-point favorites, which for the average Joe, if you're getting Marshall under a touchdown, that's almost a gimme. And they're getting hammered right now. And Ohio is a team that, for me, it's pretty much feast or famine. They can go out and quarterback Darius Vick can go out and he can throw for 250 and run for 100, or, you know, they can lose to a lower-tier MAC school at home. So you don't necessarily know what you're going to get there. But Marshall being a 3-point favorite right now on the road, I don't know. I don't want to say that I'm completely content with backing Ohio, but that's a game to keep your eye on, only because Doc Holliday and Marshall, they're not a team that you see falling this early in the season, even before conference play. So Marshall being at 1-1 would definitely set up some stuff in the Conference USA for implications and definitely mentality. So that's another one to keep your eye on is Ohio +3 and the money line. And then my last one, Donnie, Arizona at this one is kind of a toss up for me, only because last season Arizona beat Nevada at home 35-28. So that was a close game. And I think that the public can see that and automatically think there's value with Nevada. I would have rather had Arizona just blow the doors off of Nevada and open up as an 11-point favorite this Saturday. But a Scooby Wright-less Arizona Wildcat team struggled versus Texas San Antonio, a team that I've covered actually periodically through my Conference USA venture, a team that really only brought back 3 starters, and I was surprised to see them hang 30 up on Arizona. And, you know, Nevada, they don't have much of a quarterback right now. They got rid of, obviously, they cut ties with Fajardo, a guy that was there for 4 years and, you know, seems like he was there since 2005. But head coach Brian Polian, he's done well against the spread as a double-digit underdog, and he's 5-0 his last 5. He's kept it pretty tight-knit with the Pac-12. And, you know, if I'll say this, Donnie, if you like Arizona, then you like the over. And if you like Nevada, you like the under. It's pretty much going to be that way. It's either going to be a 45-15 game or it's going to be a 21-13 game. Whether Arizona or Nevada is on top, I'm not sure. But I think even grabbing 11 is a steal with Nevada. And don't be surprised to see them slip up. Nevada beat Washington State at home week 2 last season, so they're not – not necessarily afraid to play the big dogs from out west. So that's another game to keep your eye on.
Yeah, they got that pedigree at home. I mean, I remember last year betting a game. I lost, my affinity for San Diego State. But Nevada had a nice late comeback win at home with San Diego State. Almost came all the way back to beat Colorado State, and then even dating back to the Kaepernick days where they're knocking off Boise State at home. And they're always tough when they're playing at home at Nevada, no question about it.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Now, let's take a look. Let's flip now to one of your expertises here, daily fantasy sports. You can't watch 3 minutes of TV without seeing a DraftKings commercial about this weekend's $10 million pot, $2 million to the winner. If you're looking to play this as opposed to like a daily 50-50 league or, you know, just getting in, you know, a double up or a triple up or whatever it would be, playing this week starting 1 p.m. because obviously they don't count tonight's Steelers-Patriots game. How do you approach going into DFS for a huge – I mean, you're looking at, what, 700,000 to 900,000 players going to be in one tournament. Take an approach for the listeners out there of how you would go about picking your team for this big competition.
Well, first off, it's got to be all about trying to find an under-the-radar team, whether you're stacking or whether you're – I mean, because let's be real, Donnie, it's a limited roster. You get one quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you get – you know, your plethora of skill players that you can kind of toy around with. But, you know, even to start off, you got to pick a quarterback that is flying under the radar and pretty much one that that nobody's really thinking about. So with that being said, you'd almost have to kind of refrain from looking at the Andrew Luck or, you know, the Tony Romo picks of Sunday and maybe try and find an under-the-radar guy. A guy that I like is Eli Manning. For New York, they played the Sunday night game at Dallas. And, you know, just one of the things, because I've been doing a lot of off-season research in my downtime and And going back to this opening week overtrend, I really don't know if it has any value. I really don't. But Tom Coughlin, head coach of the Giants, is 9-2 to the over in week one. Whether that says anything, mm-hmm. I don't know. But you look at Dallas just, you know, taking a blow to the secondary with Orlando Scandrick to open up. You know, Eli Manning is looking to get paid. He really is. And I think that could be a good choice. Another guy, I mean, you'd almost have to look at some of these games that nobody's looking at, Donnie. You have to look at a team like Jacksonville at home versus Carolina. Now, obviously, looking at years past, Jacksonville hasn't done much of anything on offense, but Bortles at quarterback, you have some playmakers on the outside. Allen Robinson is a good receiver. So it's all about trying to find value, trying to find maybe a home team that's going to start off hot, a team like, you know, Houston or, the Jets, somewhere that that the rest of the public isn't going to absolutely catch on to right away. And then if I had to give any advice, one defense that I really do like coming into Sunday is the Cincinnati Bengals, only because Marvin Lewis has a great track record heading out west. They're going to be playing Oakland. In the last four games that Cincinnati's traveled to the West Coast, the Bengals are 4-0 straight up, and they're only giving up an average of 11.5 points per game. So if you're looking at a defense, Cincinnati in years past was, you know, a top-tier group. That's kind of fallen off in the past, you know, year or two, but expect a big year from that core. I really like that defense, and, you know, if Andy Dalton can get his head straight and, you know, maybe they can be a playoff team, but they're playing in a tough division. So that's pretty much all I got for daily fantasy. I'm trying to stay a little bit fixated on college until, you know, I get my time coming in for the Saturday night slate and into the wee hours of Sunday morning will be when I dial up some daily fantasy. But that's about as much as I can give you guys heading into that $10 million, trying to make you guys millionaires.
Fantastic, man. Well, thanks again, Alex, for being on the show. Hope to have you back on the show at another time and another date for us. Thanks for coming on again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Donnie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Take care. Folks, that was Alex AK47 right there, dropping the knowledge. We're going to take a couple-minute break here while we reset the board and go after some NFL action, folks. This is Long Shots Radio, primetime NFL edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on TrendBetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am exclusive at TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. You'll see my picture there. Click on Donnie Wrightside, and you will get full access to my plays. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, award-winning Major League Baseball, and, of course, NFL action. I've been in business for over 20 years and have found a great home here at TrendBetting.com. Once again, go to the website, TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. Prices cheap and affordable. We take the 401k approach where less is more. Come get all access to my plays, TrendBetting.com, and we'll see you on the right side. Little technical difficulties there, folks. Thanks for hanging in there. It's Long Shots Radio Thursday, NFL edition, and let's talk some football for this evening. And what's on everybody's mind? The Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots, breaking down this game. And once again, I don't bet these plays yet, but I do have some leans and some certain edges that I like to look at. Over-unders, not my thing. So on the course of the show over the year, we're not really going to go over that too much. Teasers, parlays, again, you're not going to get too much of that on my show. It's going to be strictly sides and see how we can take advantage and find some loopholes that'll put some more money in your pocket. Looking at this game overall tonight, it's hard to bet against New England. I get it. New England, all they do is win at home. When you have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, it almost seems sometimes that it doesn't matter who's even around them. Looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, some weapons, some key guys that are out for this game, yes, I get that as well. Looking at the line, didn't know if Brady was going to play or not. It was sitting around 2. Brady gets put back in, line goes up, shimmies right up to 6.5. And looking at the lines as of right now or as of a couple minutes ago, looks like you're having some all-out action there and a feast on the New England Patriots. 5 dimes right now sitting at 8. You can get Pittsburgh Steelers plus 8 tonight, which is a little bit scary because I know the public is backing them heavily. Ring ceremony tonight. You know, SU to Roger Goodell, we're going to show you what's up, and we're going to put an epic beat down on the Steelers. But I just don't see it that way tonight. Do I think the New England Patriots are going to win the football game? I do think they're going to win the football game. There's no question about that. Can they cover the spread? Sure, they can cover it, but I just don't see it happening. If we would rewind this to, you know, 1 year previous, LeGarrette Blount and Jonas Breyer playing, full offensive line, Rob Gronkowski healthy, obviously Edelman's healthy, Danny Amendola healthy, Brandon LaFell healthy, Darrell Revis, Brandon Brown are on the opposite side. Completely different situation. Looking at this game overall, I mean, hey, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. There's really not very many people in the business in the history of the NFL who have done it the way Tom Brady's done it. Ice water in his veins. Rocket after rocket in the cold weather, bad weather. I mean, hey, maybe they deflated the footballs and they gave them an advantage. The NFL is going to be on top of that tonight because it's supposed to be rainy in Foxborough. So looking at this game as a whole, yes, Le'Veon Bell's out for the Steelers and Pouncey's out as well. But starting center for the New England Patriots is out also. So two key cogs in both offensive lines will not be playing tonight. Also, Martavis Bryant, really talented kid for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's serving a 4-game suspension, will not be there tonight. But Antonio Brown will be there tonight. And that's going to be key, because I don't think anybody in that secondary for New England Patriots can check in. If you had Darrell Revis this year, I mean, lock him up, shut down that running game with D'Angelo Williams, and you got a nice winner there for the Patriots. But the Patriots can't check Antonio Brown. I don't know if they can get to the quarterback, Big Ben, with efficiency and in bad weather. I just think the Steelers can keep this game close, somewhere in that 24-20 range. I think it would be a little bit higher if the rain holds off or maybe lets up for most of the game. I think that total you might be able to look at, you know, that 27-24 type game. But I'm looking at a little bit lower in the 20s. Because taking an overall look at the game, teams really don't play that much in preseason. Gronkowski didn't even play a snap. Edelman didn't play a snap. Brady, very briefly, basically grooming Garoppolo to come out there tonight and get the start because they weren't sure if Tom Brady was even going to be in action tonight. Big Ben played a little bit this year. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell got his carries, but, you know, he's not even going to be a factor tonight, seeing be on reserve tonight, inactive. I just think the game is going to come down to Big Ben making just enough plays to hang around in this football game. It's going to be a lot of adrenaline at opening kickoff, and rightfully so. Banner is going to come down. Should have an asterisk on that banner, but it is going to come down. Patriots champions. Whoa! Our son Tom Brady's running out on the field. A lot of adrenaline over that first 10 minutes. If the Steelers can withhold that, they're going to be in this football game. But you have two really good quarterbacks. Seven or less, it would be a no play at all. I mean, because I do think, again, I think New England's going to win this football game. I really do. But getting over a touchdown, so you need the Patriots to win, you know, 27-17, 34-21. The Patriots just aren't that football team anymore. And I know the Steelers got sliced up in the preseason in their secondary. I know they didn't look good. Brandon Boykin traded from the Eagles to the Steelers to shore up the secondary. He can't even get that slot corner job. They're a little bit messy over there, and I understand that. But again, this isn't your grandfather's Patriots. Not a lot of weapons to deal with. Overshift the coverage to Gronkowski. Say, all right, Julian Edelman, you're going to have to kill me with death by 1,000 cuts. You're going to need 16 catches for 155 yards and two scores, but we're taking Gronk away. And I get, hey, Scott Chandler. I mean, yeah, he's high riser fast. Look at what they did with Aaron Hernandez. Scott Chandler's not Aaron Hernandez. Is he a good football player? A little bit misunderstood there in Buffalo, injured. I get it. He's under the radar. But I just don't see it tonight where they're going to be able to pound the football and throw the ball at will. Again, they're going to score points on the Steelers, which, again, this game is going to be, if rain holds off, in the high 20s. But Pittsburgh's going to score on that defense as well. Big Ben's going to be airing it out, arguably the best wide receiver in the game, Antonio Brown. And, again, nobody to check him back there. McCourty's a safety. He's not going to be on him. I mean, let's be serious about that. So over 8, if you're asking me what my honest opinion is, I'm taking the Steelers tonight. I don't have any money on it. So my, you know, importer weight right there, there's nothing behind it. It's just what my thoughts and feelings would be. Heading into this weekend's games, a little bit different there. Again, won't be playing him, but really, really interested in taking notes. If Alshon Jeffrey doesn't play for the Chicago Bears this Sunday versus the Packers, that's a wrap. I mean, are you going to give the ball to Forte 45 times and play, like, you know, wing T offense? Because they have nobody. 6.5, 7 on the road is in a huge game like that. That just tells you Green Bay is probably going to roll them. But with the public betting net at over 80% clip, it's probably one you're going to want to stay away from. One of the interesting games on the card, which I actually like myself, is the Jacksonville Jaguars getting 3 points to 3.5 at home this weekend. I think they could pull the upset in that game. Carolina banged up, not a ton of weapons. Jacksonville, you know they're going to be fired up opening day at home. New season, let's get it underway. It's not going to be a very good football team as the year progresses. 6 wins, about what I have them down for. But I think they can rise up in week 1 and put up a big fight, maybe even get a win. Defense out there should be able to frustrate Cam Newton just enough. Blake Bortles can make just enough plays out there, and I think they can keep that one tight, maybe even pull out the win in like a 21-20 type ball game either way. So that's one game to keep an eye on there. Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football versus Atlanta. Yeah, I'm a little bit of a homer. I do see the Eagles winning that game, but it's a tough spot for them. Monday Night Football on the road in the dome versus a good veteran quarterback. They're always going to put up a fight. Just don't think that Atlanta defense can hold up or hold the fort enough to let Atlanta win that football game because the Eagles are going to score 28-plus, and that's a fact on that one. Atlanta, can they keep up in boat race? The Eagles got that good front seven. There's nobody in that Atlanta backfield that really scares you enough that says we're going to control the football. Their offensive line isn't very good. I like Matt Ryan, good quarterback. Julio Jones, top 1, 2, 3 wide receiver in the league. Every bit as good as Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant. No question about it. Wouldn't even argue that. Roddy White's going to be back for this game. Good complimentary receiver. But I just don't see them having enough firepower to keep up with the Eagles. And I just think the Eagles are going to be able to win that one and win that one comfortably. I know that line sits right about 3. 57% of the money's headed towards the Eagles. I just like them in that spot. Another couple interesting games on Sunday night. Victor Cruz doesn't look like he's going to go for the New York Giants. I just think Dallas is in a really, really good spot in that game. Covering the 7 would be tough, which is what Five Downs has that at. Anything below 7, I would lean towards Dallas. I just don't think the Giants have much firepower. Not really any playmakers on defense whatsoever. Banged up offensive line. Just trying to, like, you know, put some tape on that one. not a huge running game. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to give fits to that Dallas secondary. There's no question about that. But outside of that, can Reuben Randle step up? Can one of the third or fourth wideouts step up in that game? If Victor Cruz was full go and healthy, you know, I think that would be a pretty good game and a pretty tight battle because, you know, the Giants are going to come to play. I just don't think they have enough firepower to win that game. So it's definitely an interesting one to look at. Detroit at San Diego, always like the way San Diego plays football. Smart quarterback, Philip Rivers. Dome team on the East Coast, roughly on the East Coast, you know, Midwest, heading out on the left coast out there. I think San Diego can give Detroit a run for its money. New Orleans, Arizona, very interesting game. Five dimes down to minus one Arizona, even though 76% of the money is there. I get Drew Brees is good, Brandon Cooks is good, but outside of that, not too much. I know they improved their offensive line with trade and the draft. And anytime you have Drew Brees on your team, you're always going to have a really good shot at that. And I'm not that high on the Arizona Cardinals, but they are at home. You know, you can say, oh, dome team on the road. Well, they are a dome team. Both teams are dome teams. New Orleans will be ready to play that football game, but I just think defense is going to be the name of the game there. I think Arizona is going to do just enough to win that football game and obviously cover the 1 3-point, 7-point win by them. I think they can get it done. Seattle's in a tough spot there heading to St. Louis week one. If you remember, I mean, Seattle gives them hell each and every time. St. Louis. St. Louis is one of those teams, really, really interesting. Really interesting team. A lot of talent on the team. Just haven't put it together yet. Nick Foles now, new starting quarterback. You know, big banger, Todd Gurley, not going to be in this game. Trey Mason might not be in this game, so it leaves them a little bit, you know, short on what they need to get done. You know Seattle's going to be bringing it, even if Cam Chancellor doesn't show up week one. So it's definitely an interesting game they're going to watch. But again, a lot of these notes, just going to be taking a lot of notes down. Vegas wins a lot of money in September, which is why I don't bet. I'm not going against the house. And I'm not picking games. If you were to pick games, it's best to always, usually, just fade the public week one, and you won't hurt yourself where you win money. Can't guarantee that. But you won't get blown out. Because those games that are top heavy, the Green Bay Packers of the world, you know, Philadelphia Eagles actually dropped down. They were a little bit higher money-wise, but now it looks like a little bit of money's came in at Atlanta, so it's not too bad. Miami, -3.5 on the road at Washington. All year long in the summer. How bad Washington is. They don't have anything together. House is a mess. GM's wife's tweeting people. GM's getting in trouble. Owner wants RG3. The rest of the entire organization wants him out of there. Game still sits at 3.5. Makes you want to scratch your head. Indianapolis, everybody's in love with Luck. Heading into Buffalo. Buffalo getting points at home. 75% of the money on the Colts. Another interesting one to watch. I have week two circled for the Bills. Bills, New England Patriots. I think Buffalo is going to smoke show them at home as their Super Bowl play. Reno Rex Ryan circled that game the day he got to Buffalo. So if Indianapolis were to win this game versus Buffalo this weekend, watch out because it's going to be on and popping at the Ralph next week when New England shows up, especially if New England wins and also Buffalo loses. That'll put Buffalo in a really, really good spot. Jets-Cleveland, over-under in that game, 3.5. Who's going to score in that one? Two good defenses. Two rough offenses. That one's definitely going to be interesting. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. Week one there in the NFL. Once we start really capping these games and getting a lot of information, we'll be able to provide that to you, certainly give you some leans on there. But right now, we're just fans in football, and it's fun. I had a lot of fun last week in college football. Going to have even more fun this week, especially with the return of the NFL games. Tonight, it's going to be one big party just to sit back and relax. Got one baseball game on the docket tonight. So if we can pick that one up as a nice winner. But it's been a lot of fun doing the show. We're going to continue to do this. We'll be back on the air on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to recap what happened over the weekend and go over Monday Night Football with the Philadelphia Eagles and also with the Minnesota Vikings and the 49ers on the left coast. Got a doubleheader we can talk about and go over that all together as well. Been a lot of fun doing the show tonight. Hope you guys tune in on Monday. You know, hopefully you cash those tickets. Be careful because Vegas is on the prowl. Opening week in the NFL, no doubt about it. So hopefully you survive in advance a la March Madness this weekend. And we'll be back to talk about it on the show on Monday. So once again, folks, this has been Long Shots Radio, Thursday night primetime NFL edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. We'll talk again on Monday. Folks, have a great weekend. See you on the right side.